Many believe that the Great Tribulation happens directly following the rapture. But could there be a gap in time between the rapture and the actual start of the Great Tribulation? And what will the world look like for those left behind? Today's guests are here to explain right now. Welcome to Skywatch TV, everybody. I'm Joe Horn. Welcome to the people in studio, as well as on panel. If you missed last week, take my word for it, go back and check the archives. We were talking about then and are doing it again this week, two brand new Defender Publishing books. First, The Disappearing, and I'm going to read you the subtitle, Future Events That Will Rock the World. And I think that's what our guests did last week to the audience here. And The Triumph of the Redeemed, and I'm going to introduce you to the authors right now. He's the author of countless best-selling books that have been distributed into the hundreds of thousands of copies worldwide, Mr. Terry James. He's a teacher of Bible prophecy and apologetics, a retired 22-year Army aviator with numerous deployments to the Middle East, Europe, and Asia, and holds a bachelor's degree in international relations, Pete Garcia. He's a Bible teacher with a Master of Divinity degree from Talbot University, retired financial business analyst, and valuable voice in biblical prophecy, Jonathan Brentner. So if you missed it last week, we talked about The Disappearing. What is The Disappearing? And of course, the book is focused heavily on the rapture. What will the conditions of the world look like in the lead up to the rapture? And I think we're seeing some of those now. What will the world look like after the rapture takes place, when millions upon millions of people suddenly disappear in a twinkling of an eye? And we even covered, again, go back to the archives if you're unfamiliar with the premise of the rapture, we even covered what the rapture is for those that are just hearing the word for the first time. So Pete, we'll start with you this week. I want to jump right in. You mention a gap in time between the rapture and the official start of the tribulation, which the word itself, tribulation, might also need some explaining for those new to the idea that there is a coming tribulation.
The tribulation, as it's been commonly referred to, is really the 70th week of Daniel. In the 5th century, the angel Gabriel gave Daniel a prophecy called the 70 weeks. And these are weeks of years. So 69 weeks led up to the arrival and to the death of Christ. And then there was a pause, if you will, on God's plan, which allowed for the church age to begin. So there is still 1 week yet future that is still needs to be concluded. That is the 70th week of Daniel. And it's kind of broken in part in two, and it's divided in the middle with the abomination of desolation. So the whole 70th week is highly chronicled, highly time-sensitive, and it's marked with these 21 series of judgments. And a lot of the things that happen within the 70th week or the tribulation, there is a belief by many that there has to be some time preceding that for some of the events to take place, like the building of the city, this new Babylon.
Right, right.
But there's nothing in Scripture that ties the rapture with this, the official start of the 70th week. The official start of the 70th week starts in, according to Daniel 9:27, with this covenant that's confirmed between Israel and the many. That's the official, that's when the clock starts for that. Mm-hmm. And that will count down exactly 7 years. And these are these prophetic years, 30-day months, 1,260 days, and then there's a middle, and then another 1,260 days. Times, time, and half a time for that last part, which Jesus referred to that as the Great Tribulation. So I believe, and many believe, that there is this period of time leading between the rapture and the official start of the 70th week. We don't know exactly how long that will be, but I believe it could be anywhere upwards of 3.5 years, or maybe more. But that would allow for some of the things that other prophecies talk about, for those things to happen that aren't necessarily inside of the boundaries of the 70th week itself.
So, Terry, you know, you find these things fascinating as you try to dissect the varying numbers. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you look at what's happening in your own life and you're trying. A lot of us play the numbers game where we don't want to set dates, but we're trying to imagine,
watch,
you know, Lord,
the signs, yeah,
am I going to see my son grow up or is he going to simply ascend? Mm-hmm. Which I'm fine with, right? That would be amazing. And for my own selfish reasons, I would love to think that Jesus' return is this afternoon. Wouldn't that be amazing?
Yeah, that would be cool.
I would vote for that.
Oh, yes.
Of course, he doesn't work on our timetable.
No.
Who are the three main antagonists of the tribulation, and what are their roles? And that's for Terry. I really want to hear this.
Well, the three main antagonists, they really mock the role because Satan mimics everything God has put in place. He's tried to pervert everything as we see happening today. He tries to mock everything God does and turn it upside down. And in the sense of these three characters we're talking about, Satan himself considers himself, I think, the Father, God the Father, and the Antichrist would be God the Son, and then the false prophet would be God the Holy Spirit in Satan's eyes. And so those are the three characters we'll be looking at as soon as the rapture occurs. And the rapture, of course, is an imminent event. I mean, it could happen at any moment. Jesus himself said that nobody, even himself at the time he was on earth, knew the day and the hour. So it's imminent. It's an imminent event. And I believe he was talking about the rapture, not the second coming. And these three characters are going to literally make hell on earth for everybody.
Right.
And Satan, of course, will be the master director of all of this, particularly when he is cast out of heaven for the last time. The false prophet is going to call attention to the false son, the Antichrist. And, of course, in that sense, he's the spiritual head of this satanic trinity, we might call it. And don't mean to be disrespectful with that, but it's a trinity with a little T, a pitchfork on it. but anyway, that's basically these three characters. Now, I believe, and I know that here, and I'm in agreement with a lot of things that Skywatch does and talks about, a lot of the extraterrestrial stuff, the interdimensional stuff, and I believe that these characters are going to, at this time, delude the whole world with the thought that we have extraterrestrials coming down from heaven, and he will set up the image of the false god, the Antichrist, the false son, and he will cause fire to come down from heaven. And he'll direct all worship to this son. And I believe at the time it's going to be in Revelation chapter 12 where Satan is kicked out of heaven for the very last time, no longer to be able to go into the heavenlies. And, of course, the Bible says, woe be unto the inhabitants of the earth, for the devil has come down to you, and he is really, you know, full of wrath. And so I believe that when the false prophet calls the fire down from heaven, it's going to be the final time that Satan is kicked out of heaven. And, of course, the whole world will believe that they've come to rescue Earth. I think that will be part of the big delusion.
Right.
Now, that's just my postulation, but I think there's good scriptural basis for at least putting forth a postulation. So these are going to be three characters that no one wants to be around to meet.
Right.
Right.
No.
How many of you have met someone whose view of the rapture is kind of like an escape hatch? But there's really no thought whatsoever to their neighbor
in
a post-rapture world. How many know a parent who's praying for a prodigal child who isn't taking any of this seriously, but they know the ramifications of a child who misses the rapture and is now stuck here? Think for just a second the condition of the world. You know, when the governments of the world emerge and they're providing every explanation from aliens to mass magicianship, like... You know that there will be podcasters emerge at this point that are going to have all This happened after last year's election. People that you'd never heard of suddenly getting 6.5 million downloads because he's got the inside scoop on what went down with all the election shenanigans. Like, think of the capitalistic opportunity.
Right.
Somebody to capitalize on that moment to emerge with all the answers. And then there's no doubt the confusion and all the people providing explanations to where all of these people went. Our prayer at Skywatch is that books like The Disappearing will be a field guide that people discover, and we're going to get to this in a little bit, the section of the back of this very book, were you to discover it post-rapture with some instructions and some explanation as to what has happened and what is coming. But for those that are lost, we should be doing our job right now.
Well, I just want to take a minute to encourage people who are teaching at church to be more conscientious about the idea that the rapture is going to leave people's loved ones behind. And we need to be about the Great Commission. And I don't mean to be disrespectful in the way that I say this, but I've seen a lot of this kind of I've got mine attitude with Christianity, where it's they're talking about how terrible everything's going to be, but it's not going to be our problem. We're not going to be here. And, you know, there are people who are going to be here, and they're flesh and blood relatives. Regardless of whether or not you're even related to them, there are people made in the image of God who need to be reached.
Yes.
And we're not preaching the Great Commission, and yet we're, it's not my problem, I'm not going to be here. And I just, I've had a real issue with that philosophy for years now. That really bothers me. So people that are teaching in church, please get about the Great Commission and drive it harder and be more sympathetic to those who are going to be here.
That's exactly why God put it in the scriptures that we're not, you know, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Mm-hmm. That's why he put that scripture there, I have no doubt, so that we would be aware that, we should be more concerned about others.
And I'd love your thoughts, both of you, on this. The condition of the world, what will the fallout from the rapture taking place? What is your estimate? What does that look like?
So, you know, just looking at it from an American perspective, we have roughly 300 and, let's just say, 40 million Americans. If even 10% of that is removed, you're looking at 30 to 40 million Americans immediately gone. So that means nobody's showing up to work, nobody's paying their bills, their mortgage. We're talking about the complete economic collapse of the United States. If you look at what 9/11 did to the industry and what just happened a few years ago when we shut down the economy, this is going to be that times, you know, 1,000.
It'll totally eclipse it. Anything we've ever seen before.
And let me interject one thing here. Can you just imagine, we talked in our last week's program, we talked about the disappearance of children, the going of children in the rapture.
Right.
Now, can you just imagine how many children, now I'm talking about children in the womb even, because conception, we believe, and God's going to, I think, say at that very moment when conception begins, when life begins, in his opinion, I think every womb is going to be empty at that moment of rapture. So just imagine not only the financial things that Pete's talking about, but the emotional. Unbelievable. It'll be so terrible this time right after the rapture.
I want to direct people, and I'm switching the order of this a little bit, because I really feel like this is super important, and I want to get on this right away. There is a section of your book, The Disappearing, and for those that missed it last week, I'll read it again. The subtitle, Future Events That Will Rock the World. Pete, there's a section of this that I think could be used by teachers right now, pastors right now, loved ones that, like I mentioned, are praying for their own prodigal children, to hand them a copy of this book. And it could be discovered post-rapture on a shelf or even serve as a warning to somebody curious. What is this mass event where these guys are suggesting that maybe downwards of almost half the earth are gone suddenly? But I love the fact that you guys have included a section that's meant to be discovered. It's like a field guide. It's a what to do if you are here now, post this event.
I originally came up with that through my website, and I wrote an article, and I wanted it to be written in such a way that it could be printed out and on one piece of paper, and you could have both sides so that you could print it out, you could fold it up and carry it with you, and it has everything you need. It really is an outline, and some of the key things not to do, i.e. do not take the mark of the beast, whatever. Hey, you're probably going to die because martyrdom is almost insured in Revelation 13:7 and other places. But do not take the mark. I mean, for whatever you gain in a couple of years, you will lose for eternity in hell, in the lake of fire. So that really was my thought process. And years ago, I had this event that happened, and God impressed upon me to prepare the underground. And I didn't know what that meant at the time, but I believe that God has allowed this time for the internet to be the way it is, for the ministries like this to be the way it is, that we are planting and planting and planting all of this seed for those that will be left behind. And I believe right after the rapture, there will be a great harvest and people will realize what's happened.
Yeah.
And the world is going to try and censor this message. We've seen it happen with the censorship recently, right? So there's a small window of time where people are going to realize what had happened before it gets before the beast system takes control of the narrative.
The thing about the end times, too, that I've noticed within the church, we're talking about different terminologies that a lot of the church have never even really gotten familiar with, like rapture and great tribulation and stuff. it surprises me how many people don't know that at the end of time, amidst all this bad news and scary stuff, to put it simply, there's actually a lot of good news that comes at the second coming of Christ. And there's this whole millennial reign that a lot of people are not even familiar with. Mm-hmm. I mean, Christians a lot of times now believe that when you die, you go to heaven, that's the end. Like, there is no second anything. What do you make of this? What's the good news?
Well, the fact is that, you know, Jesus has promised that he's coming for those that are in him. And those who come to him after the rapture, they're going to have the same wonderful heavenly experience as everybody else.
In Romans 8, Paul describes that the world is currently groaning under this burden of sin, the curse of sin, and all the blood that's been shed on the ground since going back to Abel. And at that point, at the millennial kingdom, when Christ returns to rule from the throne of David, which is in Jerusalem, and he is going to lift that curse, and the earth will be restored. And then there will be those that make it through the tribulation. They go into this time period as in their normal physical mortal bodies, and they will live under this one world system with Christ at the head of it. In the church, we will be ruling and reigning with him. So,
Yeah, but I was going to say that part of the good news is that there will be millions of people who will be saved, and I believe early in the tribulation. I believe there will be people at churches who are professing Christians, they're depending on church attendance or whatever, who think they're saved, but they're not. And as soon as the rapture happens, they'll realize it. And so I think that'll be part of the multitude that John saw in the book of Revelation, who are standing before the throne. You know, they've been martyred, yes, but they have eternal life.
Wow.
And so that's part of the good news, too. Yeah.
People that have been taught their whole life, but maybe circumstantially, even privately. Not to change the gears of this program, but we all know that it's mega time in the church, pornography addiction.
Oh, wow, yeah.
We're gonna switch gears and do a whole show on that, but the point is we could. Mm-hmm. And so you've got to imagine, like you're talking, that John sees this vast number of people.
Yes.
How many of those will be like those that are goats? But Lord, didn't I do all of these things in your name? Didn't I put on potlucks? And didn't I sell books and DVDs? And he says, I never knew you.
Yeah.
You knew about my son, but you and I never talked. Right? So anyway, before we switch gears and I take us totally off the rails, we want to make sure that you know how to get a copy of both of these books, The Disappearing and The Triumph of the Redeemed, and also a brand new announcement. When you order a package like this, SkyWatch Television is now including digital copies of the book. So you have one that you can travel with, that you can dog ear or leave on the bookshelf, but you've also got a digital version that you can slap on an iPad, read it on the airplane. Whatever it is that suits your needs, we want to make sure that you're aware of how to take advantage of this special opportunity. We'll be right back.
The world is plunging towards chaos as the return of our Savior draws nigh. SkyWatch TV is proud to present the coming Rapture exclusive offer. When you order Terry James and Pete Garcia's new book, The Disappearing, Future Events That Will Rock the World, from the SkyWatch TV store. You'll also receive Jonathan Brentner's hope-filled book, The Triumph of the Redeemed, which will invigorate you with a sense of peace and victory amid the chaos that surrounds us. And you'll receive the never-before-released DVD, The Coming Judgments, where Terry James, Pete Garcia, and Jonathan Brentner team up to disclose what the Bible actually has to say about the judgments of Revelations and the imminency of the rapture. While hundreds of biblical experts point out the ever-increasing ways that individual freedoms are becoming perpetually threatened, global elites aggressively strive towards a one-world government and universal financial currency, and all accounts appear to be setting the end-time stage for fulfillment of God's prophetic word. The Disappearing, Future Events That Will Rock the World, chronicles what events are set in motion now that are driving the prophetic final act of human history, and will bring to you God's prophetic timeline in detail from this present moment. Vivid depictions of unfolding events immediately following the rapture and beyond, through planet Earth's judgment and ultimate restoration. A dramatic, eye-opening presentation of the rapture itself and what happens to children in the mysterious disappearance. Also, the new book, The Triumph of the Redeemed, Redeemed is a must-have manual of hope and strength in the end times. Join Jonathan Brentner as he helps you to grasp the eternal perspective during life's painful circumstances. In this vital resource, you will develop a firm foundation regarding the return of Jesus and in other areas, such as our reception of immortal and imperishable bodies, our participation in a jubilant celebration followed by a wedding feast, our return to earth and thousand-year reign with Jesus, and our life in paradise, dwelling in the New Jerusalem and exploring the new earth. But that's not all. This incredible offer also includes the never-before-released DVD, The Coming Judgments, where Terry James and Pete Garcia delve into great detail on the seal, trumpet, and bowl judgments listed in the Book of Revelation. This exclusive DVD also features Jonathan Brentner's presentation entitled Hope in the Rapture. You'll be shocked when you find out why the Thessalonians were grief-stricken regarding the rapture upon receiving the Apostle Paul's first letter, and how you can be free from this very same trap, all included in the brand new DVD, The Coming Judgments. Sold separately, these items hold a retail value of over $65. Yours now for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling. So while the world continues to storm, grab hold of the eternal perspective and be ready for the return of the King. This collection is available only while supplies last, so don't delay. The Coming Rapture exclusive offer, available now at SkyWatchTVStore.com. Order now or call 1-844-750-4985.
Welcome back to SkyWatch TV. I'm Joe Horn. We continue this dynamic discussion with Terry James and Pete Garcia and Jonathan Brentner in studio today about the books The Disappearing and The Triumph of the Redeemed, with a little more focus this week on The Disappearing. Terry, I want to dive right back into the conversation with just a few minutes left on the clock. We had alluded to earlier in the break the millennial reign, but for those, again, unfamiliar with some of this material, what is the millennial reign and what does that millennial kingdom look like?
Right.
Well, the theologians from seminary will tell you it's the Chileism is what we're talking about. And it comes from two terms, millennia, which is a thousand, and from annum, which is years. And so it's the millennium, and it's a thousand years of Christ's reign following the rapture of the church, following the great tribulation. It's 3.5 years of tribulation, 7 years full years of tribulation, Jacob's trouble, 3.5 years, and then comes Christ's return at Armageddon. And the millennium follows that, and this is where Christ sets up his millennial kingdom for 1,000 years. As I think Pete had talked about earlier, we who have gone in the rapture as saints of the church age will rule and reign with Christ from Jerusalem, where he will have his millennial throne. David will be co-regent, but it's called the David's throne, I think. But Christ will be atop, supernaturally lifted up Moriah, and he'll rule the entire world. The entire world will be remade at that time to be pristine like it was in the time of Adam and Eve when they first came to the planet, first were created. So Christ will reign and rule, and we will reign with him, and that will be given offices probably in this world according to how we have lived our lives and the kind of services we performed here for Christ, by people reward system. People will live during that age to be, well, they'll live the entire 1,000 years if they live for Christ, because disease will be eradicated and all of these things. There will be trees and things to eat for sustaining of life. So it'll be a wonderful time. At the end of that time, Satan will have been incarcerated for those 1,000 years, so there'll be no temptations, there'll be no beastly demons and so forth running around. But still, when Satan is released at the end of that 1,000 years, I don't know why he'll be released, you know. Dr. McGee always said, you know, if you tell me why God released him in the first place, I'll tell you why he released him in the second. So he will be released in that 1,000 years, and he will literally be as the sand of the sea. People will glom onto him, and he'll come against Jerusalem, try to. That's how reprobate his thinking is, upside down. He still thinks he can win. And, of course, God will simply speak the word, and it'll be over. And so that is where I'll end with the talk of the millennium.
Pete, what does your book say about Armageddon and the triumphant return of Jesus at the second coming? And if you want, take a minute to kind of set that up almost in story form. What do you imagine that looks like? Because with just a couple of minutes left, I kind of want to leave viewers with something positive to look forward to. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you're inside this time period, the world has undergone these just devastating judgments. You have the kings of the East are almost rebelling against the Antichrist. They're going to be led by these frog-like spirits to come and march against Jerusalem. The Antichrist will be there. And there is a somewhat of a misconception of what Armageddon is. That term gets thrown around quite a bit. Some always just allude to it as the end of days or the the comet striking the earth, like the movie.
Yeah.
But Armageddon, even amongst Christians, is somewhat of a misconception. It's not a battle in and of itself. It's more of a campaign. And I leaned on the greats like Dr. Fruchtenbaum and March Hitchcock and others to really clarify my own understanding for this. But it begins in Basra, and you have this basically 200-mile stretch of campaign, and there's 200 miles of blood up to a horse's bridle. So some have speculated that part of that is from this melted ice from the hail, that these great hailstones that have come down that are melting and it's mixing with the blood. Others have speculated that it's just the way that it's being channelized throughout that whole area. But it's going to be devastating. And Christ returns and peels back the sky, and he has the armies of heaven with him, with the angels and with the church triumphant returning. It's not even going to be a war. He's just going to be able to open his mouth and speak. And
yes.
And you're going to see some of the destruction that's shown in the Old Testament where skin is melted and flesh. Like if you remember back to the old Indiana Jones, the Lost Ark, I forget it. But at the end of the scene where you've got these Nazis being melted from the spirit that comes out, it's going to be devastating to that effect. I mean, it's...
Can I say one thing?
Yes.
And kind of end this. I believe, you know, this is my own idea of things, that Jesus, when he says he will simply kill the Antichrist with the breath of his mouth, he will stop him, he won't kill him. But I believe it's going to be the same as he spoke to the waves that day on the Sea of Galilee that was raging. I think he's simply going to say, peace be still, and it's going to all cease.
Mm. Oof. I think. Mm. Wow. Love that.
Yeah. I really believe that.
Are you guys glad that these two gentlemen took some time to clarify some of these difficult questions in the book, The Disappearing? And as always, because I have to do this every time Terry's in studio, I have to thank him again for his legendary, multiple decades series of books and works for the kingdom. Terry and Pete,
thank you.
Jonathan, thank you so much for being here today.
Very welcome.
Join us next week as we sit down with Jonathan Brettner to talk about the dangers of neglecting biblical prophecy and what it might mean for you, for everybody in studio, everybody here on panel. I'm Joe Horn. Keep your eyes on the prize, which is Jesus Christ. We'll be back.
Hello, my name is Jonathan Brettner, and I'm the author of The Triumph of the Redeemed, an eternal perspective that calms our fears in perilous times. Today, I wish to touch briefly on the difficult times in which we live and then move rather quickly to the hope that we have in Jesus. We know that we live in perilous times, and 2 Timothy 3, 1-5 aptly describes these times in which we live. And starting in verse 1 of 2 Timothy 3, "But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty," or perilous times, "for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." Now, some might say that these qualities have existed ever since the time that Paul wrote, and that these have all been the last days. And I guess in some sense that might be true. But if that's true, then I believe that what we see today is really perilous times on steroids, because in many ways we've never seen a time when all the prophetic signs are conversion.